Guys, if you're one of the many men dealing with erectile dysfunction, you know the strain that it can put on your relationship. Maybe you've tried some of the pharmaceutical treatments with little success and harsh side effects. Discover the new you with help from the New Male Medical Center with a location near you. They have a 98% success rate in treating ED. 98%. Amazing. Guys of all ages have reclaimed a healthy sex life without any of the harsh side effects of the pills. And if you've been feeling sluggish and kind of foggy and moody, you could have low testosterone, known as low T. New Male can treat that too, providing you with renewed energy and sharpness. And if losing weight is your goal, New Male's all-in-one medical weight loss program could be right for you. Call the experts in men's sexual health, New Male Medical Center, today.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car, because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. You know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun. And hey, you know what else you don't see? You don't see me leaving for work in the morning, because I missed so much time with court and everything that I got fired.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Do you want a solid degree in criminal justice, political science, or public administration? Do you want to study at the school that's located at the heart of government? If you want this and more, choose the right path forward at the University of Illinois Springfield. You'll get the education that you expect and the size that's right for you at the University of Illinois Springfield. Learn more on how to apply. Click on the banner or go to uis.edu/insideuis to learn more on how to apply.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. Join Chicago's Big Ten team when they return to Welsh Ryan Arena to host Minnesota on January 5th at 8 p.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. The Blackhawks continue to be completely befuddled by Winnipeg. They lost to the Jets last night 3-1 at home. Hawks are now 0-3 against the Jets this season. Coach Joe Quenneville.
Had enough production to put us in a pretty good spot here, and I think that every game's different, and we're not effective when you're trying to chase games. They're playing from behind, and our starts haven't been great, but we've been in most games after one, but playing catch-up, we haven't been very effective.
Hawks will play in Nashville on Thursday. Looks right now as if the Predators' P.K. Subban will not play in that game. The Bears' season will mercifully come to an end on Sunday in Minnesota. Former Bears coach Dave Wannstedt joined Mark Grody and Brian Hanley this morning. He said if the Bears want to be better next season, they've got to get a handle on the turnovers.
If you look at the Bears, just go through one statistic, and I think John Fox would agree with me. Go through the turnovers for every game, and you tell me how many games that they won the turnover battle. There weren't very many, you know, and the majority of them they lost. When you lose a turnover battle and you're an average football team because of injuries and youth, which the Bears are, you're not going to win very many games.
Bears take on Minnesota Sunday at noon. The team making a couple roster moves today, signing offensive lineman Cornelius Edison and defensive back Rashad Reynolds to the practice squad. Bulls will be looking to take two straight at home as they host Brooklyn tonight. Bulls are 1-0 against the Nets so far this season. In college football, we've got four more bowl games today, including Northwestern getting set to take on Pitt in the Pinstripe Bowl. The Wildcats will wear a special sticker on their helmets to honor alum Craig Sager. That one gets underway in a few minutes at 1 o'clock. And tonight, we've got DePaul basketball here on 670 The Score as the Blue Demons take on number one Villanova. Zach Zaidman will have the call right here at 5:30. This scoreboard update is brought to you by New Male Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmalemedical.com. And with the winter weather in today's forecast, poor driving conditions aren't something you have to look forward to. You can pick up a fresh set of wiper blades from AutoZone for maximum visibility. They'll help you see better and drive safer, so stop in today. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to the official radio home of the World Series champion Chicago Cubs. 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, and home of the world champion Cubs.
Thanks for listening.
God bless America.
I don't even know what to say. That was pretty awesome.
Thank you very much, Julie. She had our updates today. Guests today included Mike Florio, Greg Gabriel, our executive producer today as well. Brett Lyons holding down the fort on the other side of the glass. Thank you very much for your help. Time now for our daily transition segment, Barry. And the room just got downgraded because it's none other than Dan Bernstein and one Chris Ranji.
Yeah, sucks for you.
Well, mostly the Ranji part. Don't sell yourself on that.
Hey, but
one.
It's just one me, so.
Well,
you could. If there were like three or four, you'd be in trouble. It'd be trouble. Just me, so it's cool.
One is a lot. One is a lot for anybody.
Did this come up, by the way, in your discussion of baseball and the whether or not you need to solve the problem of baseball to sell? This is what I think is valid beyond the game length and game pace. I guess it also speaks to game pace. If you look at the strikeout trends, and I was listening, I had to get out of the car because I had to go to a meeting, but I was listening and I was waiting for somebody to come around to the fact that the game itself has fundamentally changed. And just in the last 5 years, 10 years, strikeout rate, pitching velocity and strikeout rate and balls in play, that there just aren't as, there just isn't as much action within the game. There are home runs.
So the game is cyclical. You're going to go through these periods where looking at more pitches becomes something that teams want to do. There is more emphasis on the home run. There is more emphasis on the hard throwing pitchers. It's a cycle that the game is going through. I don't know that 10 years from now we'll be talking about as much swinging and missing as we are right now.
Because the contact rate, the number of balls in play, the number of outs that are made via strikeout is at a point where the game itself, even a good game, even a close game, even a big game, is by a different nature now more stagnant and less dynamic than it used to be.
There's going
to
be a point, though, where guys are going to get to a point where they can't throw any harder. And eventually, hitters are going to adjust that. They already are.
I mean, they're right,
we're not going to have 110 mile an hour fastball.
102 isn't what 102 used to be.
But even 96 or 97, which 20 years ago was a very hard thrower, is now something that hitters are adjusting to. And if you're not mixing your stuff up or that's flat as can be, they're going to catch up to it and they're going to hit it, especially if they know it's coming.
But I disagree with you guys. I mean, I think that if it's 12 minutes here, 5 minutes here, whatever it is that they can cut off the top of a baseball game, I think it's they have to. They absolutely have to, because when we get to 3 hour, 30 minute games, 3 hour, 40 minute games, which are more and more regular.
When the Cubs are going good, you're talking 340, 345, and they're scoring runs.
You're not for a regular season game, say, if you're watching that, if the Cubs are going good, chances are they're probably putting up 8 runs in one of those games, and chances are it's probably usually at least not compelling. It's usually 8-2 or 8-3, like you saw a lot this year. But like with that part of it, I don't think that, all right, well, save 5 minutes. Is that going to be what saves you for watching an entire game or not?
You know what it is? I don't think it's so much that they're trying to, it's not just that they're trying to cut down how long games are now. It's that they're trying to keep it from getting out of control, because if you watch players and umpires and managers, if you allow them to continue to progress the way they have been over the years, they'll just keep taking more and more and more time because they know they can and nothing is stopping them from doing it.
The context of the discussion, though, was is that 5, 7, whatever, 10 minutes the difference between growing the game and not growing
the
game?
Well, maybe not.
And I think it fails all tests of logic to suggest that's the reason someone would or would not watch a game. I think a great and compelling game is a great and compelling game, regardless of the amount of time that it takes. If you want to grow the game and get young people interested in the game, you have to watch, you have to have them watching games and going to games. We love baseball because our dads or moms took us to games and watched games with us, and we played baseball as kids. Kids in general are not doing a lot of the things that we did, and that's the reason that you're not growing the game among young people. If you want to do that, get them watching games, get them going to games, get them playing the game. Those are things I think you have to do.
No, it's not a matter of 5 to 7 minutes. I think the goal is greater than that. The goal is if you could do 20 or 25 minutes.
Okay, so even, if a game
so,
is...
So let's say it's...
If a game's 250 instead of 320, you think that's going to grow the game of baseball?
I think it helps, considering baseball's every damn day. It's not like, here's a baseball game, and then 5 days later, here's another one. You know, you'll watch a 3.5 hour football game.
I think Dan's point is a much better one. I think it's the amount of time when nothing is happening.
But then they create more time with nothing happening by walking around the mound and the catcher coming out. And that's the thing they have to really cut down on, is the catcher mound visits. There are no rules against it. So if you want to come out there seven times, you can.
Okay.
Look, if you guys don't have your act together,
I'm much more okay with the catcher discussion between every third, like the Wilson Contreras. How many times you see him go out all postseason?
Yeah, we talked about it.
He was out there.
We talked about that earlier.
I'm much more okay with that than I am with the old Nomar Garcia Parra thing of every pitch. Rearrange gloves, and if it's the same, absolutely nuts.
If it's my team and it's my catcher. And it's a postseason game. I don't care how many damn times he goes out there, as long as he gets it right. I mean, Sal Perez is maybe the all-timer, and they went to two straight World Series. And if I was a Royals fan, I would not care how many times he went out there. Same with Contreras, who obviously needed help from his veteran pitcher to figure out what he's supposed to do. And
look what happens when John Lester is on the mound, and it takes a village to hold a runner. And it does, and you've got this.
That was the name of a book, wasn't it?
Both middle infielders are coordinated. I'll be over here. Okay, I got this guy. And Rizzo, I got it. Okay, you do this. And you lean over and you fake a throw. And it just because this poor guy's standing there and can't. He's just impaired. There's only so much he could do. So they're constantly talking about trying to make sure they work around that.
Yeah. So I mean, so the rest of us have to suffer because you don't have your act together.
Yes.
See, and I think that's silly.
Here's what's
don't make
skewed,
me
though.
Suffer.
The
problem
is
suffering.
I think you.
The problem is locally.
Watching baseball, Chris Rodgers is the example of suffering.
It's hard
to
have.
I'm trying to take my kids to a ball game, damn it.
You just got to have the kids in the first place. It's hard to have.
You have kids? Other people's kids.
A neutral example in this town. Because for all the joy that the Cubs brought, they're the poster team. They play a torturous style of baseball.
Okay, it's Yankees, Red Sox.
Exactly. That's the whole point. And they've said that's what they want to do. And that's how they put pressure on other teams. And that's how they...
They wear you out.
It's lawyer ball. But they don't wear the fans out because they're winning the damn World Series. And even in a replay, even with that element too, you're still saying, holy crap, what did Baez do with that tag? You know, with everything, even in the times where there are little replay moments, it's, my God, Russell caught that. Or how did Baez get from here to here and flip over and put the tag on? So even in the downtime, this Cubs team found a way to be dynamic.
And even in a 9-0 game or a 9-2 game, they just wear you out. You're thinking, like, I can specifically think of guys who would give away at bats late in a game to get the game over with. These guys will not
do that.
Yeah, I covered a lot of those teams. These guys will not do that, whether down 9-3 or up 9-3 in the eighth inning. They will not give away single pitches or at bats, and they just wear you out. They are the poster child for the long game.
So people in this town are not neutral in this argument. You would need to ask somebody in a different market about
Wait till your team is bad playing 3-hour, 40-minute games.
Ooh. Bye.
Yeah.
Did you have a team? Did you have a team in mind, Chris Rundy?
Well, I mean,
what is this team of which you speak?
They're playing on the West Coast, down 12-3, and it's a 3.5-hour game. Right, and someone's got to stick around to do post game afterwards.
Well, I don't care about that. It's just baseball's right to want to be in front of it, because if they start getting in front of it now, they could, maybe
it's been something on the rise though for as long as I've watched games.
Right, but they
it
haven't
went from
tried
being
to
245.
I know, but they
to,
haven't tried to do anything about it until the last couple of years. So I think they haven't found a perfect way to do it. But if they want to add a pitch clock, great, fine.
I think it's funny that they want more scoring and they want shorter games.
Want more base runners?
More scoring
more
means
this, but
longer games.
When we know for a fact what teams understand now is if you don't make any outs, you score an infinite number of runs. That's the
theory.
That's
just a theory.
It only took 100 years to get there, though.
It's like 7 is more than 6 is just a theory. If you don't make any outs, you score an infinite number of runs. There is no clock. The only governor on this game is outs. And when teams say, wait a second, if we get guys that make fewer outs and are simply on base more and out less, amazing what happens.
You're going to have to prove this. You're going to have to prove that.
Look at this. Look at how this is a simple mathematical function. And that's why if everything is going well and it's just a little parade around the bases, you're going to be there a while.
It's disturbing to me, though, when you start talking about fundamentally changing the way a team gets to manage its own game. And if you start saying you cannot shift because we don't like how effective it is and you haven't figured out yet how to hit away from the shift, or we're going to limit how many relievers you can use in an inning because we don't like how long that's taking. It's a fundamental change in the way you play the game. And
ask Chip Kelly about that, because football has never had a problem with that. Ask Chip Kelly when the NFL is like, look, we're not going to let you just run up and snap the ball. That the official is going to stand there, and you can't run your college stuff at this level because you can't use tempo. They basically told him, no, it's a huge advantage, and you're stomping all over everybody in college. The NFL doesn't care. They'll change a rule if they think a couple teams
change
are...
change it week to week.
Right.
They think it happens all the time.
Once somebody starts to game it, they'll snap it right back and say, nah, knock that off.
I can't wait to see how you legislate a shift out of the game. What constitutes a shift? Are you gonna measure it? You gonna draw lines
out
there?
Two players on the left side. You're to second base, two on the right.
And here's the thing. But the NBA tried to do that with illegal defense. And eventually, you were better served with a free market economy. And just saying,
you're always better.
Of course, and we made the point at the time of some of these discussions when
careful, Ranji's a communist.
But this was always when socialist. Especially when Phil Jackson teams were playing George Karl's teams, and I used to laugh at Phil because Phil would try to plant the seed of, well, they're always playing illegal defense. I said, so are you. Come on. So you're just better at hiding it than George is.
Coaches and all.
Stop it.
These coaches are so smart. It's like every time hockey tries to legislate more scoring into the game, your coaches will find a way to take scoring out of it because that's what they wake up every day trying to do.
And they'll figure it out. That's where the neutral zone trap came from. They say, wait a second, we can do this and you can't do anything about it. And then what happens is a team is going to say, all right, this is that if you just allow every defense, go ahead, play zone against an NBA team and watch what happens. Because in that league, you've got some Montenegrin 7-footer just throwing in threes from 30 feet. Play zone, go ahead. It's not college. You're going to run your damn gimmicks. You want to come out of a timeout with a thing and make a guy burn a 20. Big deal. But I'm with you. Let everybody do everything and let it evolve on its own. And the smart coaches are always going to win. Even if you put in artificial roadblocks, they'll find a way to game that. They'll find a way to use it.
The fact that hitters won't take more advantage of entirely open fields is amazing to me.
Did you read the Fangraphs piece on that and how nearly impossible that is to do? There was a ton of Rizzo stuff that they used. I mean, lots of numbers, lots of video.
How many times though do you just merely bunt to an open spot? And before teams will stop giving you that,
I'd rather hit it over them and out of the park.
I agree, but in the old discussion we just had of the value of just simply not making an out of, okay, you're going to give me first base, and I know I'm one of the guys that can put this thing 425 feet away and score a run. I'm still going to. You want to give me first base? I have no problem.
Yeah, but every time he attempts a bunt, that's one time he's not attempting to hit a home run.
But Rizzo specifically, though, is so good with the bat.
But when you have Kyle Schwarber or Chris Bryant or whoever coming up next.
I think that situationally there might be a time and a place for that.
Right.
But if you look at a finite number of plate appearances from Anthony Rizzo and the percentage of those that will result in a home run, I don't want to shave off those percentages even down to the decimal places.
Regardless, the point remains the same. Guys will figure out what to do, and eventually the market will correct itself one way or another. And if you want to take that chance, then go ahead.
That's true, but I'm not really worried about shifts. I don't think they have to regulate that.
But
I'm
more worried about...
I'm more worried about... That's not a thing I think they... to me, I wouldn't worry about it. I'm more worried about stopping play. Stopping play to make a decision, stopping, well, okay, you just got a reliever and now you're going to go get another one. Okay, by the way, you're up by 6 or you're down by 9 and you're still operating. You're still Terry Francona operating like I need to play matchups here in the 8th inning.
Did you watch any College World Series games by any chance?
No.
Not really, no.
They play fast. They don't. It's not the same kind of thing. They're might, you know, the coach says something, clap, clap, go get them.
The thing is, it's possible. That's the thing is that major leaguers say, well, I need that time to... Well, okay, well, everybody needs the time, but if nobody has it, you all have to adjust to it, and you're good enough, and you will.
I'm not saying that they couldn't find a minute or two here or there. I'm sure they could. Who cares? How does that fundamentally change? I mean, this is all about...
Well, a minute or two doesn't.
Well,
I think the goal is greater than that, and I think it's let's not let it get out of hand. Because, again, players and managers will continue to find ways to stop play and slow things down if you don't regulate it.
Find as many minutes as you can. That's fine. That's not going to change growing the game among young people, which is what they claim is the reason.
But, Barry, it's not the thing, but it's one of them. I think it does matter, especially if... Look, I've heard so many complaints from people who say it takes forever to get to the cell. And then it takes forever to leave, even though there's all kinds of parking and there are various ways to get there. I know if you're coming from Northwest suburbs, which there are a lot of Sox fans who are there, I'm sure it takes forever. Probably takes 90 minutes or 2 hours sometimes to get to a ball game.
Look, that's a larger issue. Going to games is hard. That's right? An issue. So, it's an issue in college football. It is an issue with the NFL. It's the Bears conversation should be informed by some of that right now about where that equation is. But where we are now with our televisions.
That wasn't 22,000 no-shows, by the way. It wasn't 22,000.
I was going to say
it was at least, half. Yeah, it was half, and it's not the first game.
But
the last three or four were like
the whole going to games thing, based on the amount of time that we have in our lives and how many directions in which everybody seems pulled. That's a separate issue.
Well, no, I think that's part of it
because that's why you're saying shaving off a few minutes.
All that time together.
Yeah, shaving off a few minutes.
Okay, so I'm going to take 90 minutes to 2 hours to get to the game, and then the game might be 3.5 or 4.
What time does a kid have to be in bed?
Right. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Well, there's a lot of things you can do about that, including the game starting earlier, which is something they will not do.
Something that the Indians did last
year. They started doing the 6 o'clock local start instead of the 7 o'clock.
Or you look at what the Cubs are doing in that you are creating an entire city within a city, an entire campus that you can get there and say maybe you want to leave the game a little early. Maybe you want to arrive a little late. It allows you on your terms to be there and still spending money and still putting money into the coffers of the team. But it changes the entire experience.
Talk about a place that's hard to get to, and that doesn't stop anybody from going
exactly.
There.
Well, there are a lot of tourists, too. Not every team here has tourists that want to go see them play. I'm just being honest. I mean, they're
the vacation buses from Iowa or whatever it is.
Landing at O'Hare. Okay, we're ready to go White Sox.
But I'm not trying to make, you know, that's just truth. I mean, there aren't a lot of people coming in from Iowa or Arkansas or anywhere to go watch the White Sox play. It's just... I'm not trying to make a joke. It's just true. It's
I know,
but not you know guaranteed rate field. It, the downward arrows not selling.
Sadness too as he wears his Toronto Blue Jays hat.
What did you do to get George Bell's cap?
Like, I liked it. Is that cool or no?
I don't know. I don't know if light blue is your color.
That's a good hat.
It's a good hat for a lot of people. I don't know if it matches around you well.
Why not?
Oh, you got the dark blue shirt on, the light blue.
There's dark blue in this hat, too.
Not enough.
Ron, you could be one of those Skydome Hotel up against the glass, humping against the window.
Done it.
Well, you have to. It's a bucket list thing, right?
Everybody's being a tourist in Toronto.
Top of the seventh inning and something's pressing up against the window.
What's going on up there? Uh-oh.
Hey.
Hello.
Speaking of somebody, right?
Oh, yeah. 15 years ago?
Early on in Skydome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, early on. What do you guys got going on today?
We're going to talk to people about things. Big Cat Williams will talk Bears and NFL at 3, Pete Futak at 4, bowl games going on, Northwestern in action.
Yeah, we were informed by the Tribune today that Northwestern was playing this afternoon.
The entire
Both of us totally missed it.
Was about the game.
It was half of the paper today dedicated to Northwestern football. I guess what else is going
on? They rang the bell to open the stock exchange.
That was one of the pages.
The Empire State Building was lit up in their colors.
That did not get its own page.
You didn't have that picture.
You see the Tribune today?
They like Northwestern football.
They really like Northwestern football. A whole page dedicated to what goes into Northwestern equipment.
What about Northwestern basketball? How about that?
Tournament bound, 49th in the RPI.
And
Lookout World.
They start 12-2 every year.
Hub will take your calls on the Bears and the NFL at 5. Yeah, no, Northwestern's good, though. If they win the should-win conference games...
Based off Teddy Grinstein wrote it today. Based off of what Big Ten teams have been the bubble teams the last few years, they should be.
What I want though is not to have them in the first four.
It doesn't count.
Like that would be like
being the 64.
Yeah, you finally quote unquote made the tournament. No,
then you got to play number one.
Be a 9 seed, and they're in a region, and you cheer, and don't be in that whole first four thing. What they used to call the first round that confused everybody.
Yeah,
nobody called
it
the first round.
Didn't they change it again? Now
they finally changed it because they knew what people were actually saying.
All right, boys, have fun.
All right, gentlemen, we'll be listening.
No, you won't.
Chris Ranji, Dan Bernstein coming up next. I will be listening because I have some good windshield time today. Talk to you tomorrow morning on 670 The Score. I'll be on with Joe Colley, Chris Ranji, and Dan Bernstein coming up next.
Get ready for game day on Ghost Bed Bears Fridays on The Score. It's Bears talk all day, starting at 5 a.m. Listen in as your favorite Score shows, along with our team of Bears experts, break down the upcoming game. If you're a Bears fan, do not miss a minute of Ghost Bed Bears Fridays. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is Brandon Tierney, and this is a CBS Sports Minute. Is there anything more maddening than a useless league memo accepting responsibility for a missed call at the end of the game? I mean, really. Just think about it for a sec. If you're a fan of a specific team who gets hosed, do you get the 3+ hours you invested in that game back? Of course not. And most importantly, for the individuals most intimately affected by an official's mistake, are the standings tweaked to reflect that mistake? No. So why do professional sports leagues continue to pump out hollow, meaningless paragraphs outlining what was missed and what would have been the proper call? Simple. Like everything and everybody else in the world, is to protect their own behinds. They don't care about collateral damage, because if they truly did, they would collectively bargain the ability to amend the outcome. This is all about attempting to win the PR battle. Hollow, meaningless, tired, but as usual, utterly predictable. Just ask Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors. I'm BT.
Every dealership pays the same amount to the factory for a new Chevy, but some dealers advertise phony low prices online just to lure you in. At JenningsChevrolet.com, the low price you see is the low price you pay. On Waukegan Road in Glenview or at JenningsChevrolet.com, find new roads.
Look out in the street there. Know what you don't see? My car, because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun. And hey, you know what else you don't see? You don't see me leaving for work in the morning, because I missed so much time with court and everything that I got fired.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Do you want a solid degree in criminal justice, political science, or public administration? Do you want to study at the school that's located at the heart of government? If you want this and more, choose the right path forward at the University of Illinois Springfield. You'll get the education that you expect and the size that's right for you at the University of Illinois Springfield. Learn more on how to apply. Click on the banner or go to uis.edu/insideuis to learn more on how to apply.
Two dedicated hero cops, Vince, Abel, one life-saving mission. Out to prove that no one is. Oh, yeah. Starring Illinois law enforcement, featuring imprisonment, up to $25,000 in fines, no driver's license, special guest appearance by death, injury, and embarrassment. Drive sober or get pulled over. Tune in at InvincibleShow.com.
History. This week in 2003, Michael Jackson had his first interview since news of the allegations of sexual abuse with a young boy broke. This week in 2006, Brandy was involved in a car crash that left one woman dead. And that same week in 2006, James Brown, the godfather of soul, died at the age of 73 after being diagnosed with severe pneumonia.
History.
This week in 1961, the Beach Boys made their live debut using their new name. This week in 1968, Led Zeppelin arrived in the United States for the very first time before their debut North American tour. Australian band AC/DC made their live debut this week in 1973. This week in 1982, sets of commemorative stamps in memory of Bob Marley were issued in Jamaica.
CBS Thursday. The outdoors are so in.
Can you guess the number one zombie killing tool?
Remembering zombies don't exist?
Joel McHale stars in the new comedy, The Great Indoors.
Who could say no to that?
Where the only thing tougher than dealing with millennials...
You need us, because you're old at life.
I already regret this.
...is working with them.
I am not going to stay shackled to a desk with a bunch of kids who think North Face is a celebrity baby.
Get into The Great Indoors, CBS Thursday, or stream it live or on demand.
When a hostage is taken,
help!
You pay or we kill him. One team fights to keep them alive.
What do we do now?
Get your son back.
CBS Saturday.
They're going to need some form of proof that he's okay.
Sometimes life is a negotiation.
There's nothing wrong with being afraid. It's what you do with your fear that matters.
My one concern is preservation of life.
We're going to get you back.
Ransom, new drama CBS Saturday, or stream it live or on demand.
Introducing Play.it, home of best-in-class entertainment and storytelling, featuring lifestyle experts and personalities.
Hey, it's Perez Hilton.
This is Michael Rapaport.
I'm Stassi Schroeder.
This is Drinks Champ Radio.
Welcome to the Cosmo Happy Hour.
Hey, it's Ellie Wilson from Rap Radar.
Gamer Tag Radio.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
The biggest stories in entertainment.
Relationships, dating, celebrities.
We're going to sit down with the culture's most important voices.
Everything you would talk about with your best friends.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
This week's most popular music. 1 year ago, 2015.
Number three.
Drake, Hotline Bling.
I know when that Hotline Bling.
Number two.
Justin Bieber, Sorry.
Get down, it's too late to say sorry now.
Number one song this week, 1 year ago in 2015. Adele, Hello.
Hello from the other side.
Look out in the street there. Know what you don't see? My car. Because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun. And hey, you know what else you don't see? You don't see me leaving for work in the morning, because I missed so much time with court and everything that I got fired.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Popular music. 22 years ago, 1994.
Number three.
Real McCoy, Another Night.
Another night, another dream, but a
dream. Number two.
Heidi Camos, Here Comes the Hot Stepper.
Here comes the hot stepper. I'm the leader.
And the number one song this week, 22 years ago in 1994. Boyz II Men on Bended Knee.
CBS Monday. Matt LeBlanc is taking on his most challenging role yet. Fatherhood.
I'm hungry and thirsty.
Me too.
Here, have a breath strip.
The head of the household.
Will you relax? Like, I got this.
Mommy's having a little trouble breathing.
Is in way over his head.
There's a parent education seminar this morning.
Not only do I have a pressing family situation I need to handle, I don't want to go to that.
Man with a plan.
Can we get a puppy?
Sure.
No.
No.
CBS Monday after Kevin Can Wait.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Scoreboard update.
And a pleasant good afternoon. It is 1:30, and from the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm David Schuster with a scoreboard update. Join Chicago's Big Ten team when they return to Welsh Ryan Arena. Single game tickets and family plans on sale now at nusports.com. Let's start with college football, the Pinstripe Bowl. Latter stages of the opening quarter, Pittsburgh 3-0 in the first quarter. They're threatening for more right now, and it looks like they might have just gotten in, and it is. It's a touchdown, so it's 9-0 with the extra point pending. Pittsburgh leading Northwestern in the Pinstripe Bowl, that game being played at Yankee Stadium. Elsewhere in college football, Connecticut has named Randy Edsall its new coach. Actually, an old coach, too, because he previously coached there from 1999 to 2010. Pro football news. The Cincinnati Bengals have ruled out wide receiver A.J. Green for Sunday's game against Baltimore. He's got a hamstring injury. Baltimore wide receiver Steve Smith says he's reasonably sure he will retire after Sunday's game. He said he's 89% sure, not 83%, 89% sure that he will retire. 16 years in the league, over 1,000 receptions and over 14,000 yards. Pro basketball tonight over at the United Center, the Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets. The Blackhawks are off until tomorrow night when they play down in Nashville. And college basketball here on The Score later this afternoon, right after today's show. DePaul and number one Villanova will have the broadcast starting at 5:30. The security leader for over 140 yards, trust ADT to protect your home, family, and all you care about. When you have ADT security, it's more than a sign in your yard. It's a line in the sand. Visit ADT.com. I'm David Schuster, and you are listening to the official radio home for the World Series champion Chicago Cubs, 670 The Score, Chicago sports station, and home of the world champion Cubs.
This Caring hour. And Compassionate Presence Medical Group doctors are available when and where you need them. You can even book appointments for evenings and weekends. With hundreds of doctors and office locations, there's one near you. Go to presencehealth.org/docs to find a Presence Medical Group doctor today.
This hour is brought to you by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge in Oak Lawn.
Let's begin now.
Dan Bernstein.
What if you're montage guy on one of the awards shows? Like, oh, God. Now we got, all right, we got to recut it, re-edit. If you're a montage guy, you'd be like, oh, George Michael at 53, come on!
We'll put Chris on for a minute.
Chris Ranji, I just sit here. Illinois State Cardinal.
I could say whatever I want to, and I'm going to say this. You're a buffoon.
Oh, you don't mess with baboons. They'll eat your face. I will murder your whole effing family.
Can you make Bernstein be more nice?
No.
Save that drama for another day. Hey.
On 670 The Score.
We're here until 5:30 today. Dan Bernstein, Chris Ranji, and you have to suffer with us this afternoon until then. Big Cat Williams is going to join us at 3 o'clock. Pete Futek at 4 o'clock. Hub Arkush will take calls on the Bears and the NFL at 5. Because why not? We usually talk to Hub on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and we're talking to him again, and figure you can call in and just have at him. We'll have some surprises, I think, for you, too. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
Turn your mic on.
I did, and somebody turned it off. Why would you turn it off?
He didn't turn it off.
I swear he did.
No.
I swear he did.
I don't think
I swear,
did.
I promise.
No.
I hit the thing, and the red button went on.
Yeah, that's you're turning on the wrong mic. Your thing's over to the right.
That's not your mic.
Yeah,
that's your on.
Oh, you're right. Oh, my gosh. It is my first day. I'm so sorry, Shane.
Wow. Good for Shane for saying, hey, man.
He turned it off again. See, that time he... That's actually, I think that's Matt. Hello. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, all good. 312.
I feel like I'm suffering along with everybody else. It's not just them suffering with, you know what I mean? Like, because we are here, you are just so unpleasant.
312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, The Score.
I actually really like you. You know that, right?
I like you. And we have texting at 67011, the text zone being brought to you by the Grossinger Auto Group. With 15 brands and over 4,000 vehicles, visit them today at grossinger.com. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply.
Is there still sexting?
Sure.
Cool.
Twitter, you can find him at Chris Ranji.
Hey,
right? Is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And I am at Dan_Bernstein if you want to communicate that way. So that's all good. The producers are Matt Abaticola and Shane Reardon. Shane's like, I'm not playing sound drops. I'm not doing that.
That show's over.
Yeah.
There's
I'm just
no
doing
more
as
of
I
that.
Was instructed.
No, that is I get it. It is all good. And I don't know if you saw Steve Rosenblum's piece today regarding John Fox and Vic Fangio and as I mentioned yesterday, Halas Hall is really quiet right now. As it should be because there's nothing good to say about anything. But they didn't effectively deny reports. And as I mentioned, when the Score's Mike Mulligan comes out with what he did about the friction between Fox and Fangio and some of that, this isn't made up. This isn't what the Bears say. Oh, no. We haven't heard any of that. I don't know what's going on. These crazy reports. I don't know who these people are. The Bears are really bad at denying stuff that is actually going on. And what Rosenblum wrote was that some of the recent defensive failures might make it easier for John Fox to justify doing something that he's wanted to do. And I don't know if he would blow out both coordinators. I would say that you want to lose Dowell Loggins and find yourself another play caller. That's fine. But if there are any sort of untidy issues between your relationship with your defensive coordinator, who's really good at what he does and is considered industry standard as far as running the 3-4, I'd think long and hard about some petty squabbling being the reason why you push somebody out.
Why should that even be allowed? You know, I mean, if you're Ryan Pace, who we haven't heard from in what, months? It's been a long time, right? When's the last time we actually heard from him?
training camp.
Was it was it August?
Officially? I mean, he's done some availabilities kind of off to the side and off the record. But as far as actually sitting down and facing difficult questions and follow-up questions before PR comes in and shuts everything down.
I don't expect him to say one way or the other what they plan to do. But if you are him and you have any sort of authority whatsoever, why would you allow that to happen? I mean, do you see them in any way just by changing defensive coordinators effectively becoming a much improved team next year? Is it going to be a function of something different? Will it be a function of young players having another year and continuing to develop? Is the problem even really there? Isn't the problem greater than that? I mean, I think these are all fair questions, but all you have to do is listen to the way it was a couple of weeks ago. And really, they weren't denials. What Fangio said, what Fox said weren't denials. A lot of it was, well, you know, those are reports. And, you know, you can't trust reports.
There was one great Fox line, too, where he sounded like he changed what he was going to say. Where he started with, anytime you work with a guy along, there's no problem. You
know what I mean? Well, it's all a problem.
Right. It's like he was going to say something to the effect of that in any normal coaching relationship, that there's always going to be some disagreement. But then he stopped and he changed. He just sort of shut it down completely at that point. Whether or not they can work through it, whether or not that's the kind of thing where Ryan Pace could actually get them all in a room and say, make this work, figure this out. I don't want to deal with this crap. I'm not allowing you to get rid of a great defensive coordinator just because. However, then you run into this issue of telling a coach who his assistant should be. I know it was the Tom Thibodeau relationship with his bosses was never the same after Ron Adams was run out. After a trusted lieutenant was let go, because that is considered verboten. It is considered a professional sports protocol that coach is allowed to hire his staff. I'm sure there's right of approval because there's not some ne'er-do-well walking through the door.
Well, but I think first things first, that there has to be an established, and I don't know that we fans necessarily need to know exactly what it is, but as long as there is in the organization an established line of command that Ryan Pace is in fact the guy with the power. He is a separate entity than the head coach. He is the general manager. He has this authority. And then there's a head coach who can make all these decisions. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for you, but it seems like to me anyway, that there's a blurry line there. Right, we don't really know just how much power Fox has. And you know what? I don't know that that's necessarily the wrong thing. But if you have it and the head coach has this authority, if he has greater power than we expect him to have, then that should be defined. We should know that. And then in that point, what's the point of even having a general manager? Just allow him to do it, too.
And then you get into all the silly Bears stuff about consultants and other outside opinions and telling people what they might need to do to run their team and all that, which is absolutely ridiculous.
And no flat denials. No, we are absolutely not doing that. There are none of those.
No, there's still all kinds of stuff on the table, I'm told.
And Mike Mulligan he's not an idiot. He's not dragging something out of nowhere. He's not making this up. There's something there. Uh-huh. Now, whether or not it's been that they've gone back on that, that's a possibility that maybe they were considering some of these things.
Yes, sometimes in the wake of these reports, what happens is, and I have been in some situations where this has happened, is that after something is reported, it ultimately ends up saving the guy's job. Because the team ends up embarrassed about it or doesn't want to admit.
And then they back off.
Yeah, then they end up backing off because they don't want to admit that, yeah, this really was going on. And then somebody swoops in and says, well, wait a second. What's happening here? That somebody who might not have been involved in it becomes aware of it. And then it gets managed in a way that it wouldn't have otherwise been managed. I have seen that. That does happen. So, but the point is with the Bears right now, there's a lot of fluidity and a lot of possibility in a really genuinely awful season. That there are still all kinds of changes on the table here, and they're on lockdown at the moment, and I would love to know more. I assume that soon enough I will.
I think the important thing here is when we look back, when we assess the season as a whole, I don't care how many wins they had. What I want to know is, do we see enough on the field, in particular with younger players, to think, okay, next year is going to be an improvement,
a
dramatic improvement on this, and I don't know that.
The other thing you can tell is that Fox appears concerned about his future. Because when you hear a coach constantly talking about how hard his team is playing and what the effort is, that is an indication that he feels he must make a public case for himself. And I don't know
that these guys are playing hard for me.
For me.
Right.
For me. And I'm doing my job. It's not an issue of what I'm doing. We're developing. They're playing hard for me. That is always a sign that whether he means to betray it or not, per my experience, it's a sign that at least at some level, that coach is experiencing some degree of professional insecurity. This is WSCR, The Score, Chris Ranji and Dan Bernstein with you until 5:30.
Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Hi, everybody. It's Pat Hughes. Get your copy of the Chicago Cubs Win the World Series audio CD featuring the most exciting moments of the 2016 season. Only $19.99 plus shipping. Order now at cbschicago.com/CubsCD.
On the first day of Christmas, Grossinger gave to me a huge offer for my family.
We need your trade, and we're willing to pay during Grossinger Hyundai's year-end trade-in event. Get top dollar in cash for cars in any condition. With over $5,000 off on a new 2017 Hyundai Elantra, save big with 0% financing for 72 months on every new Hyundai. And Grossinger Hyundai in Lincolnwood will save you over $4,400 off a new 2017 Tucson. The end of the year means our best price during the Hyundai Holiday Sales Event. There's never been a better time to buy. Hurry in. These savings are available this week only at Grossinger Hyundai in Lincolnwood, just north of Chicago, and grossingerhyundainorth.com. That's grossingerhyundainorth.com.
Number 870265, number 870368 off MSRP on select new models. You must qualify. $1,389 per thousand finance, plus tax, title, license, and 169.27 dock fee expires 1/2/17.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car, because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun. And hey, you know what else you don't see? You don't see me leaving for work in the morning, because I missed so much time with court and everything that I got fired.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Do you want a solid degree in criminal justice, political science, or public administration? Do you want to study at the school that's located at the heart of government? If you want this and more, choose the right path forward at the University of Illinois Springfield. You'll get the education that you expect and the size that's right for you at the University of Illinois Springfield. Learn more on how to apply. Click on the banner or go to uis.edu/insideuis to learn more on how to apply.
Introducing Play.it, a podcast network like no other. Home to top sports on-demand programming, including CBS sports experts and digital exclusives from dynamic personalities.
Hey, join me, Taz.
Holy Magic Man Malignaggi, two-time world champion.
Hey, it's Boomer and Carton.
Hey, this is Tim Marchman from Deadspin.
Let's pound the pavement and get some news.
Let's hand out some fantasy football advice.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
The most addictive sports podcast today.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
CBS Thursday, it's time to celebrate with The Big Bang Theory.
That is so cool.
We guarantee good food.
Why did you get a party sub?
A party sub implies it's a party.
Your attendance implies it's not.
And awkward conversation.
People think you're a little mean.
Oh, yeah? You one of those people?
No.
Don't miss TV's number one comedy.
I like a party as much as the next man, as long as the next man doesn't like a party.
The Big Bang Theory, CBS Thursday, or stream it live or on demand.
This week in music history. This week in 1961, the Beach Boys made their live debut using their new name. This week in 1968, Led Zeppelin arrived in the United States for the very first time before their debut North American tour. Australian band AC/DC made their live debut this week in 1973. This week in 1982, sets of commemorative stamps in memory of Bob Marley were issued in Jamaica.
CBS Friday, Mac is back.
Woo-hoo!
The most inventive agent ever.
My name's MacGyver. I work for the U.S. government.
Returns to television.
What are you doing?
Improvising.
No agent does more with less.
How's he gonna stop an airplane?
Tinfoil.
He's kidding, right?
Oh, my man never jokes about tinfoil.
Everything I need is right in front of me.
MacGyver, CBS Friday, or stream it live or on demand.
Introducing Play.it, a podcast network like no other, featuring award-winning news programming and digital exclusives with business experts and thought leaders.
Tonight on 60 Minutes.
This is All Business with Jeffrey Hazel.
Smart Money Fundamentals.
The Business Rockstars Podcast.
Welcome to the real estate life.
We give you that news and information.
We plan to tell the gritty stories of entrepreneurship.
What's happening in business today?
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
This is going to inspire so many people.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
This week's most popular music. 33 years ago, 1983.
Number three.
Duran Duran, Union of the Snake.
Number two.
All the notes, Say It Isn't So. The number one song this week. 33 years ago in 1983. Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, Say, Say, Say.
Sprint. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
That wasn't written by anybody in this room, was it? You guys know what's going on. No.
Does it surprise you when something like that comes out? I mean, with no quotes from anyone?
Yeah. You know, gives you guys a bad name. He's one of your colleagues, and irresponsible reporting doesn't shine well for all of you, and that's too bad because all you guys, I enjoy talking to you guys.
Irresponsible.
Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, and we'll never really know quite, but it was, man, other people I talked to around who have their ear to what's going on in the NFL said that was nothing new. The talks about friction between Fox and Fangio just have been there.
Generally what happens in those cases is the guys that are involved are just upset that it got out, that they kind of know what's going on. And even if Fangio himself doesn't know, I'm sure he gets a sense that maybe he's on the way out. Look, if you're at a job, it's not always you're blindsided. It's not always that somebody walks in and says, by the way, this is your last day.
You can usually tell when a guy knows, when he starts planting things, if you're in touch with people around the league. Man, I know what happens in the NBA when you have an assistant like, yeah, by the way, that guy, I didn't want that guy. Or I knew that guy
couldn't play.
Yep.
I mean, you can tell from somebody's interactions with you if you're kind of on the way out. And it goes for work, it goes for personal life, too. So I feel like that's, I think it's more of they're just upset generally and for different reasons. You know, Fangio is upset that he might lose a job and Fox is upset that it got out, that there's truth to it. And see, here's the thing that's bothersome to me, and there's a larger issue here. And I know this is just sports. This isn't really all that important, but I think we're getting to this point where, and I think it's a dangerous place, where there is such a distrust for, and it's so easy to throw out the, oh, that's just the media making stuff up.
Why would anybody do that? This is what,
right. It doesn't.
Yeah, you're just making things up.
No.
What does anybody gain by making something up?
A report is not that. When somebody issues a report, when they write a report.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, too.
That's different than us sitting here and speculating. You know, what we think might happen. This guy might get fired. Right, but when somebody says, I have a source or I have two sources who say this, there's something to it. They're not just making it up.
Here's what I've noticed, too, is that there is such a lack of understanding about who does what. I mean, believe me, this is without even going into the whole fake news thing and what is created out of whole cloth and what pictures are real and aren't real and what literally is or isn't true. And who is an actual trusted news source as far as somebody overseas creating something that actually does not exist. This is without going there. Because everybody gets things in their timeline now, and they're not actually looking at a newspaper the way they used to look at a newspaper, that it has amazed me, the lack of understanding of the difference between a columnist and a reporter.
Yes. Well, that's always been. I mean, all writers are...
But just, and people don't understand what an opinion piece is.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed this particularly when we were going through in the height of all the insanity with some of the Penn State loons, that This is a very biased article. You call yourself a journalist. This is biased.
An article is not a column.
And you would understand that this is an opinion piece. This is supposed to be biased. That's the job. That's what this is. Do people understand that this is just what you think and your side of things? Yes, that's the point of it. But that's different, like you say, than someone saying, sources tell the Tribune, or sources tell 670 The Score, or sources tell the Sun-Times. Well, who are these sources? If you name the sources, you're not going
to lose
get
your sources.
The news.
Correct.
Then you're not able to do it. And you're just making stuff up. What is the motivation?
There isn't one.
What's the payoff? What does anybody get to for me? Wow, he sure got away with that one. He made something up. Your reputation will be trash if you make stuff up.
Mully gets nothing out of making that story up. Let's take the worst possible road here that he did.
No, he didn't.
No, I'm just saying for a sake of argument.
But dumb people are going to take that the wrong way.
They're going to
hear that the wrong way.
Okay, well, then listen, dumb person, don't take this the wrong way. He did not make this up.
Listen, dumb person.
Let's just say some unnamed media person made something up. And it is kind of big news, but he made it up. What is the benefit of it? Other than for a couple of days, he gets talked about a lot. But once we find out that story was trash and there was never anything to it and then he made it up, his reputation is also trashed. And he will never, ever, ever be trusted again with anything. So no reporter, and this goes for everything, the Tribune, the Sun-Times, NBC, CBS here, there is no reporter that is going to make something up on purpose ever, ever, unless they want to lose their career. That's not how it works.
So when somebody says, well, that's just reporters making stuff up. No, that's because, and then when it's confirmed secondarily, when you say, hey, you know, you see this report? Oh yeah, that's, people have been talking about that for a while now. And it's not hard to track some of this stuff down for people who have, you know, a phone.
Right.
If you actually have a phone
and you know people, they're going to talk to you.
You can find stuff out about things. He's Chris Ranji. I'm Dan Bernstein. Next up, Big Cat Williams on The Score.
When Bears news breaks, count on us to deliver. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car. Because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun. And hey, you know what else you don't see? You don't see me leaving for work in the morning, because I missed so much time with court and everything that I got fired.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Are you looking for the right path forward? It begins at the University of Illinois Springfield. Get a degree in criminal justice, political science, public administration, and more. Get a U of I degree at the school that's the right size for you. Get inspired at the University of Illinois Springfield, where you will get the education that you expect. Learn more on how to apply. Click on the banner or go to uis.edu/insideuis to learn more on how to apply.
Set a date with the talk.
Here we go.
5 days a week.
I am ready to party.
From Major Mondays.
I'm pregnant.
To Fearless Fridays.
Should your ex's friends be off limits?
That's what friends are for.
Five funny women. Who always turn up.
If I had a superpower, it would be eat anything I want and never get fat.
Share your weekdays with the talk.
What a motley crew we all are.
On CBS.
Introducing Play.it, home of best-in-class entertainment and storytelling, featuring lifestyle experts and personalities.
Hey, it's Perez Hilton.
This is Michael Rapaport.
I'm Stassi Schroeder.
This is Drinks Champ Radio.
Welcome to the Cosmo Happy Hour.
Hey, it's Ellie Wilson from Rap Radar.
Gamertag Radio.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
The biggest stories in entertainment.
Relationships, dating, celebrities.
We're going to sit down with the culture's most important voices.
Everything you would talk about with your best friends.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
Welcome to CBS This Morning.
We're following breaking news.
We have new information.
A lot of important questions this morning.
What will it take to move the needle when it comes to gun control?
You believe that World War III will be cyber warfare.
What will be the impact on the global economy?
What should be the U.S. position with Vladimir Putin?
What do you think is the biggest misconception about Wall Street?
We have been covering the issues.
One of the great things about journalism is you are an eyewitness to history.
More real news every morning on CBS This Morning.
Introducing Play.it, a podcast network like no other. Home to top sports on-demand programming, including CBS sports experts and digital exclusives from dynamic personalities.
Hey, join me, Taz.
Holy Magic Man Malignaggi, two-time world champion.
Hey, it's Boomer and Carton.
Hey, this is Tim Marchman from Deadspin.
Let's pound the pavement and get some news.
Let's hand out some fantasy football advice.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
The most addictive sports podcast today.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
This week in music history.
This week in 1984, Def Leppard drummer Rick Allen lost his left.